This is the audio edition of the iCringely column for September 11, 2008. The text edition can be read at pbs.org/cringely, and both are copyrighted works of the Public Broadcasting Service, where heads don't roll, they bounce. Fire your boss. The best place to cut IT organizations is generally at the top. By Robert X. Cringely. This week marks the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks in the U.S. This week is also a time when the world economy is under stress comparable or greater to that imposed 7 years ago. Whatever you're feeling in your wallet, I can't overemphasize the impact of the current global credit crunch is having on our economy and that of other nations, including Germany and Japan. We're in a mess, one that is at least 2 years from being resolved, no matter who is the president. This matters to a technology columnist because it is something the technology community will eventually have to address, just as we did 9/11. I think some coping skills are in order. First, let's take a look at a small part of my column from September 13, 2001, a column that wasn't especially popular with readers at the time, but I think it stands up pretty well. Quote, "To a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail," wrote Mark Twain. In the current context, this means that the organizations charged with reacting to this catastrophe will do so by doing what they have always done, only more of it. Congress, which controls the budget and passes laws, will want to pass laws and to allocate more money, lots of money, forgetting completely about any campaign promises. The military, which is the nation's enforcer, will want to use force, if only they can find a foe. The intelligence community, which gathers information, will want to be even more energetic in that gathering, no matter what the cost to the privacy of the millions of us who aren't thinking of terrorist acts. And agencies like the Federal Aviation Administration, which regulate, will want to create more stringent regulations. Now here's the important part to be remembered. All these parties will want to do these things, whether they are warranted or useful or not. End quote. In 2008, we're generally facing cuts in IT that are prompted by economic decline. Many of the IT shops I talk to are in denial about this. Many more, while not in denial, are making bad decisions. I think this is a good opportunity to do some house cleaning that probably should have been done years ago. If you have to cut your IT budget by 10%, where do you cut? What if you have to cut by 30%? As I've written before, one of the great problems in IT management is that the bosses typically haven't a clue what is happening, what is needed to happen, and what it is all should cost. There's a role for trust here, but if the big guy is signing off on a budget he can't even read, much less understand, well, something is wrong. Some IT departments like this, of course, just like my students liked it when class had to be canceled. They liked getting less for their money. But in tough times, facing reality and speaking the truth is usually the best course. Because power in IT organizations tends to be based on headcount, preserving jobs takes a priority. When jobs have to be eliminated, they tend to come off the bottom of the organization when they should more logically come off the top, or at least from near the top. A tech who directly helps users is more important than a manager who can't manage. This is especially true if that manager is making 2 to 3 times as much as the tech. If your boss doesn't understand your job enough to describe it in technical detail, that boss is in the wrong job. If you're managing an IT shop and can't write the code to render Hello World in C, HTML, PHP, and pull Hello World from a MySQL database using a Perl script, then you are in the wrong job. I should point out that these latter tasks can be copied and pasted straight from properly composed Google queries. They aren't a test of programming knowledge at all, just of the ability to use the Internet. Yet many technical managers will fail and should get the boot as a result. You can't manage what you can't understand. Think about whole projects that can be chopped too. What's really needed after all? Then that knowledge is in your organization, though often not where it is available to the decision makers. The essence of efficiency is doing only the parts that are absolutely needed, and almost every shop has at least one project that everyone except the big boss knows is either pointless or hopeless. So cut it. One can argue, of course, that more IT, not less, is in order, and maybe that argument will work, but make it only if it is true. I think a good argument can be made for embracing cloud computing, for example, even to the extent of eliminating data centers and facilities. We're very close to the point where few organizations really ought to have their own data centers. This could also be a good time to embrace open source tools. Yes, there is a learning curve, but the price is right, and I can argue that quality is substantially better. Oh, and cancel those contracts with Gartner, Forrester, IDC, etc. You'll feel better in the morning. Now, some folks who won't feel better in the morning are the next class of IBM employees to see their jobs moved overseas. I understand that there is a new round of cuts coming in October, and it will be different from the death by a thousand cuts that has been happening for the past year. The technique is the same, of course, cutting unneeded workers in the U.S. while suddenly needing virtually identical, if younger and cheaper, workers in India and Argentina. It's pure coincidence. Yeah, right. If you were disappointed with Apple's product announcements this week, take cheer from knowing that more announcements are coming, including new MacBooks and iMacs. You don't have to take my word for this. Just look at the closeouts Apple is offering on current models. Christmas is still the most important quarter for Apple, so they won't let these announcements wait too long. I just wonder how they slipped out of this week's event. And finally, I'm surprised to admit that the latest version of 64-bit Windows Vista seems to be running pretty darn well on my desktop. No driver problems, 32 and 64-bit apps seem to be running well. Why hasn't Microsoft been shouting about this? 32-bit Vista still sucks, of course. Hey, I'm Bob Crimsley. To comment on this column, visit pbs.org/crimsley. This is PBS.